Welcome and Saba blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening later on recording, Saba blessing everyone on this Sabbath, April 26, 2025. This is our part 4 of our chapter 85 entitled By the Sea Once More of our lesson 433. We are going to ask our dear brother to bless us with our tiny thought, hymn of our theme, To God Be the Glory.
I better get my microphone on here. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. Who yielded his life, an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. We are going to ask any of the little tiny thoughts to be able to open this section with prayer. May you unmute your mic.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please protect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall I labor and do all my work, and the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect the people who's in the Sabbath, the people who's not in the Sabbath.
In Jesus' name
we pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, little one. It's story time for our little tiny thoughts. And we are going to hand our dear brother the story of Jesus, chapter 24, the death of Christ, part 3.
All right. The Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of Matthew. Matthew 27:50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. In other words, he died. And Matthew 27:51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And we understand that that curtain was very thick. It was very heavy. A human being could not have ripped it from even the bottom to the top. And in Matthew 27:52, it says, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Next slide, please. At the time of the death of Christ, some of the priests, were ministering in the temple at Jerusalem. That's what they did. At that time of day, They got in there and performed their sacrificial tasks. They felt the shock of the earthquake, and at the same moment, the veil of the temple, which separated the holy from the most holy place, was rent in twain from top to bottom by the same bloodless hand that wrote the words of doom upon the walls of Belshazzar's palace. The most holy place of the earthly sanctuary was no longer sacred. Never would the presence of God again overshadow the mercy seat. Never would the acceptance or displeasure of God be manifest by the light or shadow in the precious stones on the breastplate of the high priest. Henceforth, that means from now on, the blood of the offerings in the temple was of no value. The Lamb of God, in dying, had become the sacrifice for the sins of the world. When Christ died upon the cross of Calvary, the new and living way was thrown open to Jews and Gentiles alike. Angels rejoiced as the Savior cried, "It is finished." The great plan of redemption was to be carried out. Through a life of obedience, the sons of Adam might be exalted finally to the presence of God. Satan was defeated and knew that his kingdom was lost. That's taken from the story of Jesus, page 147. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. So next Sabbath, we will be reviewing this part 3 of a lesson entitled The Death of Christ in a tiny thought lesson book, The Story of Jesus. And that will take place, dear one, May 3rd, 2025. Welcome to all the precious family that are coming. It is time for their parents, little ones, guests, to learn precious lesson in God's creation through nature. We are still in our topic, Moments of the Bible. So let's have a little singing ear, little one, and our dear brother will be able to share.
So, blessings, everyone. Here's today's lesson concerning the mammals of the Bible. Our Bible verse is far less than our topic, Mammals of the Bible, taken from FPL Year 2, Quarter 4. Lesson 6, the sower, the seed, and the soil. And first is Matthew chapter 13, verse 7. It says, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." And Matthew 13, 22 says, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." In today's lesson, we'll be doing in section 5, a horse's teeth and senses. You can look at the illustration of the horse's on pages 130 to 132. And the memory verse of the lesson is Matthew 13:22. It says, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." And the character quality of the story is industry versus slothfulness. Industry is the habit of working hard and steadily with thoughts and deeds directed by heaven. And here in this diagram is of a horse's teeth and senses. It's actually part of the horse's skull. Number one is pointed at the maxilla or upper jaw. Two is the sinus, which is in the middle between the maxilla and the rest of the gum mouth. Three is the reserved crown. which is supposed to be the second tooth in front of the first. Well, the second bone in front of the first, or the jaw. The four is the nasal bone, right where the horse's nose might be located. Five is the wolf tooth, which is the bottom part of the first tooth. Six is the crown, which is supposed to be the bottom jaw of the tooth. Seven is the apical foraminae, which is supposed to be the bottom of the bottom first. There's eight is the apex, which is supposed to be the tooth on the very back on the bottom. Nine is the mandible, the lower jaw. Ten is the reserve crown, which is supposed to be the center of the apex. 11 is the table, which is supposed to be around where the horse's throat might be, the part of the incisor tooth. Twelve is the infundibulum, which is supposed to be the central part of the incisor tooth. 13 is the dentine, which is the inside of the incisor tooth. 14 is the pulp cavity or central star, or where most of the veins will be located. And finally, 15 is the peripheral cement, which is supposed to be the outer surface of the incisor tooth. And it says here, most male horses have 40 teeth and most females have 36 teeth. Horses' teeth do not have nerves and they are continually growing. The horses use their back teeth to grind or chew their food. By counting teeth, a person who knows about horses can tell how old it is. Most foals are born without teeth, but soon grow two upper and lower front teeth. At 4 months, they have four uppers and four lowers. At the age of 1 year, they have six pairs of upper and lower cutting teeth. Next to that writing is the anatomy of the horse versus teeth. The first part from under its mouth is the incisors, the main part of the mouth. The next is the canines, which is right behind the incisors. And behind that, a few inches away, is the premolars. And behind them is the regular molars. And continuing, it is at 5 years of age when the horse has 12 pairs of cutting teeth, a full set of teeth. The teeth are important for the horse to use for eating its food. It is said that some people dig their graves with their teeth. It said so in Fourth Testimonies, page 408. That means they do not eat the right foods or they eat too much. This would be an example of a bad habit that will choke out the good seed of the word. Overeating drains electrical energy from the brain and therefore affects communion with God. Also, we are told we should chew our food thoroughly. Check in Councils and Diets, It's a Foods, pages 108 and 320, before swallowing for good digestion. It reminds us how important it is to thoroughly study or chew the word and understand it, not letting the cares of this world, or like the weeds and thorns, and grow the word out. Horses have good hearing. They have short or pointed ears that move around to pick up sounds from all directions. The way a horse holds its ears can show the horse's attitude. When it points its ears forward, it's curious about something. When it twitches its ears or lays them back against the head, it is angry, and one should be careful around it. Jesus was trying to help the people to hear the truth, so he scattered grains of it among the crowds. Some were eaten by birds, some fell on stony ground, some fell among thorns, but some fell on good ground and were understood. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 13:9. Horses also have a good sense of smell. Their nostrils are very large and can smell things from a long way off. A strong wind and heavy rains make it difficult for smell and can cause nervousness in a horse. The eyes of horses are oval and set on the sides of the head. The eyes can each look a different way and in a half circle. So a horse can look forward with one eye and backward with the other eye. Because of the position of the eyes, the horse has a blind spot a short distance in front of it. To see a nearby object straight ahead, a horse will turn its head. People can have spiritual blind spots. The care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches can blind them to the importance of God's word. It says, as on the right, a blind spot. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Revelation 3:17-18. Ask God to show you your blind spots that you might apply the heavenly eye salve. The shape of a horse's eyes makes objects far to the side or back appear to move faster than they really do. So a horse may shy or move suddenly at the slightest movement of something to the side or back of it. A horse's eyes take time to adjust to changes in light. It may appear to be nervous when coming from a dark stall into bright sunshine until the eyes adjust. Gradually, Jesus was unfolding the light of the truth in parable. The Holy Spirit would enlighten the receptive minds of those who had been prepared for greater light. Jesus was teaching the people to see the truth that the garden of the heart must be cultivated. The soil must be broken up by deep repentance for sin. Poisonous plants must be removed for the tender plants to grow. And in this diagram of the horse's eye, we see different parts on it that help it work. We have the upper eyelid, the outer corner, the lower eyelid, the inner corner, the third eyelid, the iris, the corpora nigra, and the pupil. These are all the parts of a horse's eyes that help it see well. Oh, can this see the truth? Horses can be trained through repetition to follow signals. They have very good memories and remember experiences many years after they have occurred. Some of the parables were remembered by the people who heard them. And later, after Jesus' death and resurrection, they took root and grew. And here we see a diagram of a horse's head. And it says above, "Many are digging their graves with their teeth." Number one points to the caudal auricular muscles, which is the muscles on the very top of their heads. Two is the auricular conchal cartilage, which points in straight toward their ear. Which is supposed to be their ear. Three is the auricular muscle. That points in the middle center or between their ears. Four is the scutiform cartilage, which is supposed to be the bottom part of their ears. Five is the rostral auricular muscles. Which is way below their ear, or just on their forehead. Six is the transverse facial artery, vein, and nerve. Which part is supposed to be the muscles, those on the inside of their forehead. Seven, and is their eyelids. Eight is their angular artery ray vein of the eye. That part's supposed to be the the inside a head of wood, where their naval parts are just in between their eyes and nose. Nine is the nasolabial elevator muscle. That part points to the both left and right sides of the snout. Ten is the superior labial levator muscle. That's on the surface part of their snout. 11 is the canine muscle. Just 1 or 2 inches away from the nose. 12 is the nostril, which is of course their nose. 13 is the oral or orbicular muscle. That part points to around their lip. The 14 is the inferior labial depressor muscle, which points under the bottom of their mouths, around their chin. 15 is the buccinator muscle, which is just 1 inch away from their the bottom of their mouth. 16 is the zygomatic muscle, which is on the bottom of their snout. The 17 is the facial cutaneous muscle, which is the central part of the underneath their mouth. 18 is the masseter muscle, which is around on the bottom of their cheek. 19 is the facial nerve, which is supposed to be the inside of the cheek where the blood flows straight toward the rest parts of their head. And it also expresses their faces as also. 20, the masseteric artery and vein, that's on the back end of their cheek. And the 21 is the external jugular vein, that's the muscle near where their throat is. 22 is the parotid salivary gland, and that's in the central back of back inside their heads. 23 is the interscutular muscle. That part points to the muscle on the top of their heads, is just underneath the surface. The 24 is the levator muscle. That points a muscle just a few inches is close to the ears. And 25 is the abductor muscle, which is below the levator muscle. The 26 is dorsal and ventral parts of a lateral nasal muscle, which is supposed to be the muscles that stretches their nose whenever they're sniffing. And finally, 27 is the levator muscle of the medial angle of eye, which is supposed to be the insides of their eyelids. And what can we learn from our nature walk experience, dear ones? Let's use our listen ears, little ones. Here, our dear Cecil family sharing their sighing sceneries. We have on the top right of the moonlight between the trees, and on the bottom right and middle, we see cumulus clouds in the form of a bear. You'll be able to look close to see if you can find it. On the top middle are petunias. On the top right are lavender sprouts. And bottom right is our fire plant flowers.
Brother Josh?
Yes?
The
what you have where it says fire plant flowers, that's not that. That's a helleborus.
So are the ones in the
and the ones up on top where you have petunias, those are also helleborus.
Oh, okay. Okay, my mistake. Thank you for.
Yeah, we did. Sorry.
Thank you for correcting me, Sister Michelle.
We're sorry we didn't put what they were. Sorry. So, okay.
Okay, so the fire plants are actually herbivores, and the petunias are actually what were the names again?
Helleborus.
Helleborus.
Yes, helleborus.
Yeah, the helleborus. Continue with dear sister Charlene and Azel in her sister Azel's garden nature walk. Spring beauty, spring is here. Oh, on our top upright is a Japanese wallflower. In the center, you see many more or other kinds of plants. On the top right are lavenders. On the bottom left are pink orchids. In the middle, we see a bush with yellow flowers, possibly primrose, I think. And on the bottom right, you see some other kind of. I think that's an ivy plant. Continue. And we will end with our nature signs of their garden and area of greenhouse. On our top left, we see lavenders. In the middle top, we see fuchsias. On our top right, we see orange daffodils. In our bottom right, we see lilacs. We put lavenders there by mistake. And on the bottom right are tulips and primrose next to. And continuing with our dear sister Grace and granddaughter Brooklyn in sightings, we see the sun setting in on the top left, and on top right is sundown. And both on the bottom right and left, we see a creek. No, she's not there. And continue our dear sister Cerise and family sightings. We see on the left pictures of mango trees. In the center or top, we see a pineapple. And on the top up right, we see sugar cane. Sister Cece, with you and everyone with you, like to share experience from these pictures?
Sure, Brother Josh. Thank you. Sad blessings, everyone. And the one that says a mango tree, it's actually a plum tree, the one that's on the left. It's a small dwarf plum tree. We call them June plum in our country, or they're also known as golden apples. And then on the top right, center, it's a pineapple. My brother-in-law actually got that for me. And I was so excited to eat it because that's one of my favorite things to eat. And here I was at the bottom center. I was so excited to be able to have a mango tree in the yard, and even more excited that I was able to reach up and touch them. So I can't wait for them to be ripe. It's now starting to be mango season there in Jamaica. And on the top right is a striped sugar cane that I was able to partake of from my daughters and myself. And then on the on the bottom right is a very ripened mango. It was very delicious. And these were some of the things that we were able to partake of, the fruits, which is one of our favorite things for when we go back home to enjoy. And we just wanted to share. Sabbath blessings, Sister Shaka.
Sabbath blessings. Thank you.
Sabbath blessings.
Okay, next we will next continue with our dear brother Joel S. Society. And on our top right, on top left, we see dandelions. And on both in the center and top up right, we see daffodils. And on the bottom, we see another picture of a creek. Brother Joel, would you like to share experience from these four pictures?
Sure, Brother Joshua. With the dandelions, I just wanted to take a nice low angle picture of them because it was a whole field of them and it just looked beautiful. The daffodils themselves were really kind of odd because they were in the midst of part of a forest area I was walking in and they were the only ones there. So I took them because they were unusual, and I just liked the flowing way of the creek, so I took a picture of that too.
Finally, we will end with our dear sister Chrissy's signing gift to her mother. We see on the left more dandelions. And on our right is a colony of red fire ants. And then and on the bottom, we see a pink blossom. Sister Christina, would you like to share your experience from these three pictures?
So we were just taking our nature walk early at the park. And we were just walking past, and Jeremiah just happened just to stand in the middle of this ant farm that's right here. And I was like, okay, because those ants are fire ants, and they will bite your skin up really horribly. So I didn't realize how many they were until I looked down. And it just looks like, in this picture, it looks like brown sugar, but those are ants. And then while I'm looking at the ants, Chrissy comes and gets, here, mommy, he brings me a pink flower. It's really small. It was pretty. She knows I like pink flowers. And there's dandelions everywhere, especially next door. There is this property, a house that had burnt down and it just left a field. So now it's just covered with dandelions everywhere. So we took pictures of that as well.
Well, that is the end of our nature lessons for today. Now I'll turn the mic back to Mom.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. We want to thank all the dear brothers and sisters that was able to send the photos, and we will be updating it. Praise God, when we send it out, there was no name on it because we wasn't really sure. But now that we have the proper names, we will be able to update it and send it back to each one of you by God's grace. And remember, little ones, Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus, the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he has done. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. Our opening song is the hymn to our theme, Fishers of Men. You can find it in number 500. If you would like to share the hymn with us, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. If you follow me, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men if you follow me.
Here Christ comes, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me. Hear Christ calling, come unto me, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Hear Christ calling, come unto me, I will give you rest.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If anyone of the elder sibling, Mami Sadari, so even our guests would like to open the family section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Dad, blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for this morning. We pray for the people who are here, people who are not here. We protect the way that we're going to be learning. We protect. Please protect everybody. Please protect the people who are sick that and cannot join the Sabbath. Please protect people who are not can join the Sabbath. Please protect us. Please protect everybody. Yeah, I know. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, little ones. Our opening scripture is taken from the book of John, chapter 13, verse 36, and it reads, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. This Sabbath, boys and girls, mommies and daddies, we will continue with our part 4 of our lesson entitled By the Sea Once More of our storybook, The Desire Pages. If anyone of the dear family would like to take the following verses, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
John 13:37. King James Version. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. John 21:18, King James Version. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither you are with it, but wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee there, whither thou wouldest not.
Amen. And you will go down to share. John chapter 21, verse 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me.
John 21, verse 20, King James Version.
Then Peter
turned about, sees the
disciples
who Jesus loved, follow which also
leaned
on his
breast.
At Spider
supper
and said, Lord, which is he that
betrayeth
thee?
Okay. We'll bubble down to
John 21:21. Peter, seeing him, say to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do?
John 21:22. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear ones and little ones. Today we will cover pages 815 through 816. Welcome to all the precious family that was coming in. We are in the Desire Ages, page 815. Continuing, who would like to take the paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Continuing, Jesus walked alone with Peter. For there was something which he wished to communicate to him only. Before his death, Jesus said to him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. To this, Peter had replied, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. John chapter 13, verse 36 and 37, Desire of Ages, page 815. Next slide, please. Continuing the reading. When he said this, he little knew what heights and depths Christ's feet would lead the way. Peter had failed when the test came, but again, he was to have an opportunity to prove his love for Christ, that he might be strengthened for the final test of his faith. The Savior opened to him his future. He told him that after living a life of usefulness, when age was telling upon his strength. And next slide, please. Continuing, he would indeed follow his Lord. Jesus said, when he said this, he little knew to what heights and depths Christ's feet would lead the way. When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee, whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. The Desire of Ages, page 815, paragraph 3, and on the slide, it has a verse from Mark chapter 8, verse 35, King James Version. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Amen.
Amen. Good job, everyone. Let us learn our first scripture song together, and this one is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, taken from our lesson book, The Desire Ages, volume 3, from the Sunlight Sound Studio, Memory Verse CD. We are in the Desire of Ages, page 815. Who would like to take the following paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
The Desire of Age, page 815. Jesus thus made known to Peter the very manner of his death. He even foretold the stretching forth of his hands upon the cross. Again, he bade his disciple follow me. Peter was not disheartened by the revelation. He felt willing to suffer any death for his Lord. The Desire of Ages, page 815, paragraph 4.
The Desire of Ages, page 815, continuing. Heretofore, Peter had known Christ after the flesh, as many know him now, but he was no more to be thus limited. He knew him no more as he had known him in his association with him in humanity. He had loved him as a man, as a heaven-sent teacher. He now loved him as God.
Continuing, he had been learning the lessons that to him Christ was all in all. Now he was prepared to share in the Lord's mission of sacrifice. When at last brought to the cross, he was at his own request crucified with his head downward. He thought it too great to honor to suffer in the same way as his master did. Desire of Ages, page 815, paragraph 5. And the slide to the left says, as a last favor, the request was granted, and in this manner died the great Apostle Paul.
The Desire of Ages, page 816. To Peter, the words, follow me, were full of instruction, not only for his death, but for every step of his life, was the lesson given. Hitherto, Peter had been inclined to act independently. He had tried to plan for the work of God instead of waiting to follow out God's plan. Next slide, please.
Oh, I apologize. I said Apostle Paul. That was Apostle Peter. Thank you.
Continue with the reading. But he could gain again nothing by rushing on before the Lord. Jesus bids him, follow me. Do not run ahead of me. Then you will not have the host of Satan to meet alone. Let me go before you, and you will not be overcome by the enemy. The Desire of Ages, page 816, paragraph 1. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's learn another beautiful song together. Dear one, but this is in John, the book of John, chapter 6, verse 63. This is taken from the scripture singer song in the section character building of the memory verse CD.
Spirit, and they are life. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life.
Welcome to the dear brethren that are coming in. We are still in the Desire of Ages, page 816. Who would like to take the next paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
As Peter walked beside Jesus, he saw that John was following. A desire came over him to know his future. And he saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Peter should have considered that his Lord would reveal to him all that it was best for him to know. It is the duty of everyone to follow Christ. Continuing, to follow Christ without undue anxiety as to the work assigned to others. In saying of John, if I will that he tarry till I come, Jesus gave no assurance that his disciples should live until the Lord's second coming. He merely asserted his own supreme power, and that even if he should will this to be so, it would in no way affect Peter's work. The future of both John and Peter was in the hands of their Lord. Obedience in following him was the duty required of each. From Desire of Ages. Page 816, paragraph 2. And on the side, Jen and Peter was in the hands of their Lord. As we all are. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us learn our last beautiful song together, dear one. And this one is taken from our lesson book, The Desire Ages, in page 668, paragraph 3 from the Spirit of Prophecy. This is also found in Scripture Singer Song in the section Encouraging Quotes of the Memory Verse CD.
All true obedience comes from the heart. It was heart work with Christ, and if we consent, He will so identify Himself with our thoughts and aims. So blend our hearts and minds into conformity to His will, that when obeying Him we shall be not carrying out our own impulses, the will refined and sanctified, will find its highest delight in doing His service. When we know God as it is, our privilege to know Him, our life will be a life of continual obedience through an appreciation of the character of Christ. Through communion with God, sin will become hateful to us. Desire of Ages, page 668.
Well, dear ones, we have come to the end in our lesson. We are going to reserve all of the answer to those questions that we have when we get together to have a review next week by God's grace. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open our family section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
If we go to call our heads and our hearts on our knees and come humbly before our Godhead. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee once more to give Thee honor and praises, Lord Jesus, we want to thank You for Your love and mercies. We want to thank You for answered prayers. We want to thank You for Your grace that takes us through each day. Lord Jesus, we ask for forgiveness in all things done in this body, known and unknown. I pray, dear Father God, as John and Peter are in the hands of their Lord, that we will be in Your hands continuously, and that we do not wrestle ourselves out with worries and anxieties and fears, dear Father, but to know that You are in full control of all things. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for those that are sick and afflicted today, dear Father. Those that are not here, dear Father God, those that are in the hospitals today, dear Father God, You know just where they are. You know just who they are. You know exactly what is it that they need. And we ask according to Your perfect will to supply their needs, dear Father God, to continue to restore and to heal mentally, spiritually, physically, and emotionally, dear Father God. Sustain in a way that only You can, dear Father God, I pray. Please continue to open up our eyes and our ears and our understanding throughout this day, dear Father, as we continue to partake of Your words, dear Father, in each coming section, dear Father. Be with our speakers, be with our hearts and our ears. Send Your Heavenly Spirit to abound about us wherever we may be this day, dear Father. And thank You for connecting us and connecting us freely, dear Father God. May we submit our wills to Thee for Your using, dear Father, and we invite Your Spirit in, dear Father God. I pray that we may be elevated on high. We thank You and we love You, dear Father God. In no other name than Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we are going to have a review of chapter 85 by the sea once more, part 4. This will be held on Sabbath, May 3rd, 2025. I would like to also let everyone know we are going to resubmit the projects with the proper information, dear ones, that nothing may be lost. And please keep our dear Sister Grace's son. He had an emergency yesterday, and by God's grace, the Lord retained his breath in his body. So please, dear one, may you keep our dear sister and her son And we also want to thank God for the miracle that he had caused by bringing us Mama Joan also well and recovering. And if anybody else among us that may be going through any malady, may the Lord continue to hold each and every one. And we are so grateful that the Lord is in full control. Leaving the scripture and also spirit of prophecy from Maranatha, page 78:3. And also I want to thank God that we had a little emergency on the two floor for my mom. They had bust the pipe, and praise God that the ceiling did not come down and the Lord retained everything. So like that, we will not have any difficulties to bring the Sabbath in to give him glory. And I thank God for that also. So the scripture is taken from Isaiah 64, verse 6. But we all, but we are all as unclean thing, and all our unrighteousness, all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like wind, have taken us away. In the quote, it says, the white robe of innocence was worn by our first parents when they were placed by God in Holy Eden. But when sin entered, they severed their connection with God, and the light that has encircled them departed. Nothing can man devise to supply the place of his lost robe of innocence. Only the covering which Christ himself has provided can make us meet to appear in God's presence. This covering, the robe of his own righteousness, Christ will put upon every repentant, believing soul. This robe, woven in the loom of heaven, has in it not one thread of human devices. Amen. Devising. Christ, in his humanity, brought out a perfect character, and this character he offered to impart to us. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and God bless each one.